springtime is here, cycling season is almost upon us. That target event date is almost here. I can feel it. The weather's warmer. In today's episode of the podcast, we are talking about interval training because now is a critical time to really think about getting the power down in those hard interval sessions, which are really going to help close that gap on where your fitness is now to where your fitness needs to be for your event or race. Right, let's get stuck in. Okay, so we're a few weeks out from your big event, somewhere between 6 to 12 weeks out. And the reason I'm saying 6 to 12 weeks is 6 weeks you can make some pretty sizable fitness gains in if you stay absolutely utterly focused. 8 weeks, I think, is ideal. Much more than that, we struggle to start balancing the focus and dedication that this phase of your training needs compared to all the background, family life, etc. So, and building up in fours is quite important because we kind of need to work backwards from your event date here, working with that taper week going into your event and then building on what I'd call either a 3 week or a 4 week progression cycles. And what we need to do is choose how we're going to do that. Now, a 4 week progression cycle might look like 3 weeks of progressively building your interval training, taking a rest week and then starting that again. So three weeks build, 1 week taper. So we work backwards from your event to work out where we're going to start this process. So in a 4 week progression cycle, 12 weeks fits really nicely. Have a play around with it wherever your event date is. The reason I would choose one over the other, if for a 4 week progression cycle, that would be build, 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 rest, build, 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 rest, etc. I would normally choose this for someone that was young to middle-aged, who was doing a good amount of volume of training and relatively fit and could adapt to their training quite quickly and could probably handle a little bit of pent-up residual fatigue to get them through to their rest week. For someone who's not doing that volume of training, maybe only 6 to 8 hours a week, or was a bit of an older athlete or unconditioned, a 3 week cycle might suit them better. And that would be build, build, rest, build, build, rest. So missing out a build week, essentially. Now, this is gets dictated a bit by how well you respond to training stimulus, genetics, that sort of thing, trial and error, knowing your athlete. And what I've just done is a very big sort of stereotype overview, but we've got to start somewhere. So that's where we'll start. It's one of those things where plan to review, relationship with your coach, etc., etc. Talked about that before. Very important. Now, once we have this built, we've got an idea of when we're going to start working backwards. We now start thinking about what is it we're trying to achieve from our interval training. And speed over duration is it. How we work that out gets more complicated. We're going to get into that. But speed is the ultimate metric. And your event discipline is going to dictate how long you need to hold that power for. Now, we've got to think a bit deeper than just going, it's an endurance event, I need to hold this power for this many hours. No, because every event has got its certain characteristics, its nuances, if you like. Maybe it is a relatively flat crit race around a motor racing track or a cycling track, and it has attacks out of the corners, or it has bunch finishes or big sprints if you're trying to get to the finish first. Maybe it's a more hilly, challenging sportive where the hills are very steep but very short. Maybe it's a big alpine sportive where the hills are very long but gradual. You get the idea. And we can work out what type of power duration where we're going to be anaerobic for, because every event has a period of time when you're going to be using that anaerobic system, and to make sure that we can do the speed required of us to perform, but also recover and make repeated efforts at that level of intensity as well. So that's what we're trying to achieve from our interval. So how long? I know the big question is, how long should an interval be? Before we get into that, we need to work out that time duration. And we do this by looking at your power curve. So we've already had a look at what the event specifics. Next thing to look at is your power curve. And that is, If you imagine on the horizontal axis is your time, vertical axis is your power output. And you can imagine that for a 5-second sprint, you'd be able to put out an awful lot of power. For a 3-hour endurance ride, not as much. You'd be able to plot a graph between those two points. It would draw a curve depending on how well you can sustain high power, how quickly it drops off, whether your threshold is a bit out of kilter. It gives us an idea of where your strengths and limitations are. Then we can transpose that with the event you're trying to do, and we either train to your limitation or we train to the event specifics, and that is how we are going to get to how long you need to achieve a certain speed or a certain time above your anaerobic threshold. Now we have something to work from. So establishing how long your interval is going to be, then we now polarize that, and we're going to take attack our performance at that duration in a pincer type movement. On the one hand, we go shorter than required, but significantly harder. And on the other hand, we go significantly longer than required, but significantly easier. And going back to that catabolic anabolic argument we had in a few podcasts back, you can see where we are going with this, because what we're trying to do is first establish that you can actually do the power required, and going above it is a good way to do that. And then we need to make sure that we are metabolizing the energy to make sure that we can sustain it. I think you get the idea. So we have to start somewhere, and all the training that you've done up until this point, so maybe it's done some Zwifting or Sufferfest or some rides outside, you will have a power curve established. You will know roughly where to start. And let's say, for example, that you decided that your 3-minute power needs an improvement. Now, you don't just train at 3 minutes and hope for the best. What you're going to do is go 45 seconds significantly harder, looking at your 45 second max power and aiming for that 45 seconds, building it into a series of intervals where the rest period is going to be long enough that you're fully recovered, that you can then perform the effort again, but not so long that you start to cool down and recover. In the duration of that, what we're trying to do is in the last interval of the session should feel impossible, but the last few seconds, somehow, with all the will in the world, you just pull it out of the bag. That's how difficult that should be. Because what we're looking for is minimum effective dose, remember. We just want to do enough to trigger an adaptation. And getting yourself to the point where just a couple of seconds shy of fully completing the interval is how hard it should be. Using all that historical data to try and work out how hard that needs to be for that duration. Now, in that progressive build phase, therefore, the following week, you then up it a little bit. Now, you can do this one of two ways. If your end goal is to be more powerful, then you might want to put the power up but keep the duration the same. If your end goal is to extend the duration, you might want to keep the power the same but extend it by 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever it might be. Always making sure that you're getting the adequate rest to repeat the interval. On the other side are catabolic type intervals, if you like, are just reducing the rest period. So we're forcing our bodies to become a bit more efficient at creating energy and recovering. That's what that's all about. So over time, these two things are going to creep and creep and creep and get closer and closer to eventually hitting that goal that we've set ourselves. And this is where a good relationship with your coach is really important, because it takes quite a lot of plan, do, review conversations to really make sure that we're there. And also, you might not be there every week. So even though your coach has prescribed something that's progressively harder, because there's an awful lot of background residual stress, it means that you might not be able to hit those intervals. And that's important to acknowledge, because for these next few weeks of really hard training, this is where you've really got to look after your body, because it's going to be quite hard, you know. And good nutrition, good supportive work, family life, etc., is going to be important to make sure that you can focus on your training for these few weeks, because it's going to build up quite a lot of training stress as opposed to life stress. And of course, the two things, the body doesn't really know the difference between the two, arguably. But if you're carrying into a highly stressful workout, having had a highly stressful day outside your workout, then those two things are going to take you over the edge. So it's important that we acknowledge that in the whole build, etc. And you have to go back a little bit. That's okay. It's much better to go backwards and reestablish than it is to try and motor forwards and that residual stress getting so much that something bad happens and pushes you way further back from where you actually want to be with your training. If you're using things like Exa Trainer Road, where you're using those artificial intelligence systems, they can be really valuable. And you really got to make sure that you updating the metrics. So if you are fatigued, you have to make sure you're telling the system that you are and acknowledge that and really be self-critical and self-reflective to make sure that you are adjusting those freshness sliders to really be truthful about how you're feeling and making sure that you do the intervals. Now, there's three simple rules when it comes to doing interval training. And that is, when it gets hard, you do the full interval at the target power and the target duration. That goes without saying. If you can't do that, you're too tired, then you hit your power targets for as long as you possibly can. If you can't do that, you don't do it. That's it. So there's no turning it down. There's no, let's make it a little bit easier, you know, to make sure you get through the workout and do every interval. Because the point of intervals is to hit the power targets for as long as you possibly can. So that's important. Now, if you're missing several intervals, then we have a problem. We need to reevaluate. But if you're getting, let's say there's 10 intervals and at number 8, you miss number 8, take a longer rest, but then come back and complete number 9 and 10, that's perfect. That's brilliant. How you know that the workout was just right was at the very last interval, the last few seconds should feel like you can't do it, but somehow you do, or maybe even you fail at the last couple of seconds of the last interval. That's perfect. That's that minimum effective dose. That's triggered an adaptation. Now, here at MapDeck, we have the MOXIE monitors, the muscle oxygen sensors, and we can shortcut quite a lot of this trial and error, plan, do, review, by seeing live in the session how your body's metabolizing energy, and we can make some changes on the fly. It really does accelerate this program. But not everyone has access to that. I appreciate that. But that's where the sports science is going right now, and it's so exciting to have that sort of technology. Which kind of does lead me on to, you know, when you are setting how hard an interval should be, okay, we've got that power curve, we've got your past performance, but we also need to think about what energy system that we're trying to target in that duration. So maybe it's your phosphocreatine energy system, anaerobic, your VO2 max, your lactate threshold, and your power duration will be very much based on your metrics in those as well. So you can kind of look at your FTP, take percentages of it, tend to find that once you go above your FTP, that it all gets very, very cloudy and mismatched. And really the only way to know is either by using muscle oxygen sensors or by using a VO2 mask to actually get that dialed in, which of course you might not have access to. Again, this is where training centers like ourselves really come into their fore, because we can shortcut an awful lot of the plan, do review, and making sure that every single workout is spot on. Right. There's one thing I really want to address in this. and that is, you're going to get fitness improvements in this time. You're going to get fitter. And if you're on something like Exa or Trainer Road or Zwift, they like to keep you in the platform. They like to celebrate your successes. Absolutely, they do. And it's going to announce at some point that you've had a Power Breakthrough, and it's going to update your fitness signature, and that's brilliant. What you have to acknowledge, if this happens, if you are on a progressive plan, it's going to take you from point A to point B, and in the middle of that plan, you've suddenly improved, and then you stay on that plan, then that progression that's been carefully calculated is now going to be doubled up, and that's dangerous because that's going to take you into that period of fatigue. So you have a choice. Either you ignore your FTP increase and you keep on the progressive plan, trusting the system, knowing that when you get to the end, you'll get that result that you want, or you acknowledge your FTP increase or whatever it is, whatever metric it is you're working on, and then you come back to the start and you start the new progressive build with your new numbers. I guess the jury's still out on which one to go for. For some people, I really like to celebrate successes and go, yeah, brilliant, you've got a new FTP, fantastic, right, let's come back down, let's make your interval shorter again, and then work on that new power data. For other people, they more focused on the end game and are really happy to go, oh, I've got an FTP breakthrough, ignore it, I'm going to stay on the plan, I'm going to trust the process, and I know that in 8 to 12 weeks' time, I'll be where I need to be because the plan is designed to be progressive. It does depend on what other metrics you can challenge. Again, having the VO2 masks, the muscle oxygen really give us an insight as to how your body's metabolism is changing and adapting over time without necessarily just looking at the ultimate metric, which is either FTP or ultimately speed. So just bear that in mind. It's a mistake that everybody makes. And I get it. I understand why, because it's so exciting at this period of time when it's full of adrenaline, full of achievement. It's so easy to overdo it. So just bear that in mind. If you are doing Exert, which, you know, from listening to this podcast, I'm a massive, massive fan of, you're going to start getting Exert breakthroughs, especially if you're putting it into course mode, really challenging yourself, really going for it. You're going to start seeing breakthroughs, which is fantastic. And Exert will do a lot of this work for you, where if you get a breakthrough, the next workout it prescribes for you will take into account that you've just had a breakthrough, will knock it back and will start you on that progressive build again. You can ask it not to by red flagging the workout, ignoring the breakthrough, and continue on that process. I think Exert is intelligent enough to keep you on track, if you like. So I would normally acknowledge the breakthrough, celebrate it, take the next prescribed workout, because Exert is quite unique because it will stay focused on a particular power curve type. They call it athlete's type, like sprinter, puncher, GC athlete, etc. So that's that extra level of sophistication that really helps on that. Now, I think that's probably enough for this one. We've gone through quite a lot today. We've gone through, first of all, that cycle, you know, that 3-week or 4-week build. We've looked at your power curve and trying to establish what it is you're trying to achieve with your intervals. We've gone how you should ride an interval in terms of all our efforts for the duration, or sit them out entirely, knowing if an interval is hard enough or if it's going to be too easy. And we've also had a look at the length of time it takes and the actual purpose of them. Hopefully that was pretty interesting. The next podcast is going to be really interesting because in this period of time, recovery is super important. Not just recovery in between intervals, but recovery in total, because performance is really made in the recovery. And just think about that for a second, because you don't get fitter in your training, you get actually tired in your session. The adaptations happen while you recover. And if you can recover faster, then you can train again faster or harder. And that is where the performances are made. So the next podcast episode is all about how you can recover faster so that you can then train again or train again harder. Okay, I'm looking forward to that one. Take it easy, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Loving all your feedback and comments. Keep it going.